It's good to see you all. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm Pastor John. I serve as one of the pastors here. I have an announcement, which is one you've heard before, but if you're like me, I can't think about January until the Christmas season is over. But coming up at the end of January is our men's advance. I want to thank those of you who have already signed up. This is going to be a weekend away at the Black Rock Retreat Center. All right. A time for men to focus on the Lord, to get away from I don't know if you kind of feel like your tank goes on empty and you need a spiritual refresh. You need some time away to strengthen you in the Lord. That's what this weekend's going to be, men getting together. In the next week, you're going to get if you've already registered or if you register soon, you're going to get an email about what allergies you have, what you need, roommates, and that kind of stuff. So we also need to secure a space at the retreat center that fits us all. So I would really appreciate if you did register. You can do that on our website. All right, and if you all could physically do me a favor and grab one of those Connect cards in front of you, and some of you hold it up, find one of those Connect cards, wave it around. All right. Those are there for you. If you have any questions about the retreat or the advance, if you could use any financial aid, or if you have any questions, find me or a staff person, or just fill out one of those cards, and we'll be in touch with you. And those are helpful for you if you're new here, or if you're in a season of change, if we can pray for you. We are resisting our robot overlords, and you will still get a living, breathing human that responds to you if you fill out one of those. If that feels like the right way to do it. All right. Did you all have a great Christmas? I'll answer at once. That's good. Yeah, mine had some relaxing. We were doing a jigsaw puzzle as a family, and then my brother-in-law brought a guest over. The guest was an artificial intelligence chatbot, and it was funny to see how everybody reacted to it because it was a variety of reactions. This week, you may have chatted with AI or typed with artificial intelligence. I called a customer service line and got a robot asking me to tell it what I wanted. New technology is fun, but there's an unexpected problem that has come up with the use of AI. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what that is. AI engineers are actually hard at work trying to resolve this. Here's some examples. In 2022, a bot began saying that a specific Australian politician took a bribe from a foreign government to influence his decisions. That was a complete lie. It wasn't true. In 2023, an attorney submitted six dockets with case numbers and quotations to court as evidence. And as it turns out, that was all false. He had to explain to the court how he used artificial intelligence to get that information, and his law firm had to pay a fine for that. And even this past October, an AI chatbot for entrepreneurs gave unlawful advice telling these business owners to steal from workers and to wrongfully fire them. For some of us, there's a feeling of comfort when you go to a computer because you expect it to be true, factual, objective. But artificial intelligence is designed by people, it's trained on the content made by people, and it's designed to talk and to behave like people. Artificial intelligence has learned to lie, and it's learned it from us. So be careful when you use it. And why are we talking about this? This all pokes at an ancient problem. We want truth, most of us want to tell the truth, and yet, lies have been around since the Garden of Eden. The book of 2 John can help us. You can turn there. That's where we're going to be. That's towards the end of your Bible. It's one of four books of your Bible that have only one chapter. I'm a recovering, I don't know what you'd call it, not so good Bible reader. So I would very often go to Jude or 3 John for the sense of accomplishment that I read a whole book of the Bible today. So I sense, you know, that might be, some of you might be here with me. We're all going to have that accomplishment today. We're going to look at 2 John today. All right, so let's ask the Lord for help. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we know that you see us, how we've gotten up this morning, We maybe dealt with temptation to eat donuts or not coming in, but here we are, Lord. We praise your name for being holy and for being loving. And we bring ourselves to you now. We ask that you would speak to us from your word. To wherever we are, Lord, you know the loss that we deal with and the situations we find ourselves in, Lord. We long for heaven. We long for truth. We long for Christ to have victory after victory in a world filled with temptation. So we thank you for your word. God, help me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Give me a love for your people and fill my words with words that are pleasing to you and give life to your family. Help us, Lord, in this we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to begin with some Bible study, get into the nitty-gritty since we're going to look at the setting of this letter, who wrote it and who he wrote it to help us understand the content of it. John's writings were some of the latest writings in the New Testament, probably between 80 and 90 AD. So if you think to the beginning of the church, somewhere around 30 AD, the church was vibrant and alive, and man, it was beginning to spread to the whole known world. The church was active and fruitful, planting new churches regularly, and these local fellowships multiplied wherever they could. Also during this time, there was a harsh persecution of both Christians and Jews, which contributed to them scattering. Jerusalem had fallen in 70 AD because of the Romans, and Caesars and emperors at the time, like Domitian and Nero, were known for cruel and deadly treatment of believers. So it's in light of this setting that the style of 2 John is noteworthy. So I have a slide for us. I realize that this is hard to see. It's kind of like an eye test. But when you can see the whole book, it's a short book, you can sort of see the flow of it. We're all a bit different. You might find this interesting, you might not. But I want us to kind of see the shape of the letter. With the Lord's help, we'll all be scholars today on this book by the time we're done. Let me just start by reading the first three verses in the ESV from 2 John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. All right, so first, who's the author? It's the Apostle John. Look at the language he uses. I've highlighted it in blue. Us, we, I love you. Love one another. I rejoice. And I don't want to write to you. I want to see you face to face. This is not a business letter. This is a personal letter. You could say it's a love letter. He writes with love and care. And he refers to himself as an elder. This name connects him in relationship to the church. In the same way that if you call yourself a father, it connects you to your children or a mother of children. He could have said, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, connecting him to Christ. Or I'm an apostle, connecting him to the ministry of the church. He chooses to say he's an elder, one who teaches, cares for, and loves the church. And he writes like that too. He writes with love. I'm paraphrasing here, but you can imagine a father-like figure saying, hey, it's me, just checking in on you. Man, I'm so happy to hear that you're doing well. I want to remind you all, you got to love each other. Watch out for lies. Protect yourselves. And by the way, I can't wait to see you again. It's just going to fill me up with joy when I see you face to face. This is a warm letter. We live in a world that doesn't honor our elders. And this is not just a cultural difference, it's a spiritual one. Having elders is not an old-fashioned idea. It's a biblical one. It's God's design for community. The word community gets diluted in the way today it's used. Community to you might mean a group of strangers that has a common interest or likes the same product. If you are looking for a healthy and real community, look for someone like the Apostle John, someone who walks with God, loves the church, and teaches the truth. We need elders. And so John the elder is writing, and who is receiving this letter? In purple text, the elect lady, the chosen lady, eklekte kuria, if you want to know the Greek. John's writing is personal in tone, so much that you might think it's written to one person. Some people have speculated, is this Mary, the mother of Jesus? Is this Mary Magdalene? But that is just guessing, and there's no evidence for it. There's also, if that were the case, if he was writing to one specific person, the Greek is awkward, and that's something that the scholars and commenters agree on. Well, so some people, what they thought was maybe this is written to a woman and her name was chosen. Like if you might know a Grace or a Hope or a Trinity, we give those kind of names to people. They were thinking, well, maybe the name is chosen. But if you look at the end of the letter, it says the children of your chosen sister greet you too. And it uses the same word. So that sort of doesn't work. Also, if you look at the way this book is written, it's written to a group of people. It's personal in tone, but it's like John is speaking to a whole church. So it would be odd if he was kind of talking over this woman to the church. John is speaking in metaphor. The church is the elect lady. As we read it, you'll see it sounds like it's written to a group of people, because it is. Why does John do this? It's likely for safety. If you wrote a letter that's from a chosen lady to a chosen lady, if this messenger going down a Roman road were to fall into danger, they would not be able to find this church to persecute them. It's sort of like the best of times and the worst of times for the church where they are. There's persecution, but they're loving each other and multiplying in faith. But there's a danger. So what's going on? It's a loving letter to a church. And unintentionally, this is in Christmas colors, but like I was thinking, green means go, red means stop. Notice how it starts with green, truth, commandments, teaching. And then he gets into the middle. The content of the message is he's telling you there's a deception. There's something wicked going on you need to watch out for. And there's also these words about consistency that I've bolded. Abiding, knowing, walking, that the Christian life is to be something permanent and continuing as we walk in the truth. Second John is urging us to continue walking in the truth, being watchful against false teaching. Sunday schools are on break for 2 weeks, so this was some Bible knowledge for you. Doing this prep, doing this look at the book helps the Bible to become more approachable. And now we know when it was written and who wrote it and to whom. Let's get into what God has to say for us today. Let's look at verses 4-6 together. And this reminder to the church. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we had heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. John rejoiced greatly because the church and her disciples were walking in the truth. And then he reminds them to obey God's commands and to love one another. So you can see on the slide, walking in the truth results in loving one another. There is a cycle and a circle here. Notice how John talks about it. He says, remember the commandment, and the commandment is to love. And then he defines love. What is love? To walk in God's commands. And we walk with God in this command to love which is to walk in the truth. And this might raise some questions for you. It certainly did for me. And it might sound a bit odd. Is love the same as following commandments? If my kids obey every rule in the house, is that love? If artificial intelligence listens to my every command and responds, is that love? Throughout the Bible, there is a connection between love and truth. In God's view of the world, love and truth are way bigger than the concepts that we think of when we hear those words. Just like the world gives us a lower view of community, this world fails to understand what love and truth mean to the Lord. The word love can be expanded to include God's graciousness and mercy, forgiveness. Truth is the foundation of trust, of justice, of truth-telling, and faithfulness. These ideas link throughout the whole Bible. The love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 that you might hear at a wedding is about truth. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love always trusts. Micah 6:8, a lot of you love this verse. What ought we to do? We need to act justly, to do what is right, to do what is true, and to love mercy, to be forgiving and gracious and loving, and to walk humbly with our God. These are big ideas that connect, and this is what 2 John is about, to walk in truth and love. Walking in the truth leads us to a harmony between the head and the heart. And a commentator said this too well for me to say, and it's almost too difficult to hear, so I'll read it twice. B.F. Westcott says, love is truth in human action, and truth is love in regard to the order of things. The combination is not found elsewhere but in Jesus Christ. One more time. Love is truth in human action, and truth is love in regard to the order of things. The combination is not found elsewhere but in Jesus. One of the songs we sing says, justice and mercy meet at the cross of Jesus. These two ideas that seem like opposites are connected in him. Next week, we'll pick back up in Mark, and Pastor Andrew's going to keep teaching us from the Gospel of Mark and keep looking at Jesus. Is he truthful and faithful? Yes. Is he loving and gracious? Yes. And those live in harmony in the person of Jesus Christ. And part of Jesus' ministry to us was to model for us what it looks like to walk in love and in truth. Are you walking in the truth? Is love abounding in your life and bearing fruit? How do we score ourselves there? A lack of love and complete joy comes from letting our guard down and confusing lies with the truth. That's where we're going. We'll look at verses 7 through 11 together, and here's the main idea, that walking in the truth requires us to watch for deception. Watch. That's an important word. Watch out. Verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Antichrist. This is still John, the loving elder. He loves you. He wants to see you. It's fatherly and warm in tone. And I don't know what's the scariest word in the Bible. It might be this. It might be in the top 10. Antichrist. John is not referring to the Antichrist, which is someone that we read about in Revelation that plays a role in the end of the last days. In 1 John chapter 2, he also refers to this idea that there are many antichrists. What he is speaking to is the idea that these are anti-Christian, They are literally against Jesus. John rejoices that this church is walking in the truth, and he warns them, watch out. Do not be deceived by these teachers who will lead you astray. False teaching comes in many shapes and forms. I don't know if there's anyone speaking into your life that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. I don't think that's as common today, but that's what's going on in this church. They disagree with what we just celebrated with Christmas. Here is what we hold as the truth, and this is important. This is an understanding of your own salvation, that because we have all sinned in human flesh, we require that Jesus come to us, that he lives a sinless life, that he takes on human flesh, and he dies for our sins. We have a perfect Savior in Jesus Christ. This good news is the beautiful truth that roots itself in our hearts and grows and builds up the church in love. But an opposite teaching was coming. And the problem is even bigger than their theological error. Their problem is that they're disconnected from God. These godless people, they don't abide in Christ at all. And they're claiming to be teachers. Let's read verses 8 through 11. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. What would the church do when apostles came to town? Just put yourself there. Well, and if an apostle comes, you treat them well. You give them a good bed to sleep in. Maybe you give them your bed and you sleep on the floor or on the couch. And you feed them, you take care of them, you get the whole church together. An apostle's come, let's listen to every word that he says. So you might see where there's difficulty that creeps in, the lie that creeps in. People with wrong ideas and bad intentions would creep into the church to take advantage of it. And if the church believed their false teaching that was not focused on the love and truth of Jesus, it would drive division into their relationships and keep them from loving one another. False teachers were manipulating the goodwill and the hospitality of the church, teaching false doctrine that caused rivalry and resentment because it was man-focused and not God-focused. To walk in the truth, we must be watchful and realize the power that lies have to turn our souls away from the love of God and the truth of God. Here's the message. Do not be deceived by false teaching. Do not be deceived by false teaching. Reject it. This might sound simple, but when we look inward and shine a light into ourselves and into this world, this is not an easy task. It is a difficult one. Here's an uncomfortable thought for you. Right now, right where you are, is everything you believe true? Maybe look back to 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Hey, do you see how God, if you've been walking with him, he shines light into your life and corrects and dismantles those lies that you've built your life on? Is anyone 100% walking with the truth right now? Somebody here saying, yeah, I walk with the truth. The problem in all my relationships is other people. Have you ever changed schools, you know, beginnings and ends, like we heard earlier? Have you ever changed schools or changed jobs or moved to a new location? I have, and this might have happened to you, but my problems have followed me before. Same problems, new people. These were like spiritual aha moments for me as I walked with the Lord, because I used to pray, Lord God, oh, help that person. Deal with that person, Lord. Protect me from that person. And then I say, oh, wow, why is this pattern happening again? And God was working on me, shining light on my habits and my behaviors that pointed deeper inward towards a pride and a disregard for other people. This happened to 20-year-old John Lim, 30-year-old John Lim, and if God gives me 90 years here on this earth serving him, I pray that he doesn't quit on me and he keeps on working these lies out so I can experience more joy, to live by the truth and to not say hurtful things and harm the people closest to me. That's God's way. Lies cause sin. Sin hurts others. And that hurt keeps us from the love of God that should fill our families and our community. Just like Adam and Eve, their sin was disobeying God's commands and eating the fruit. But underlying that sin was a lie that had turned them away from abiding in God's truth. Do you believe lies? Lies are sneaky, like viruses, and they get into us and they grow. What's the key word for fighting false teaching? Be watchful, self-aware, continually washing ourselves with the Word of God. We're not just trying to shield ourselves from the world out there, but the lies of our world that have gotten in. Be careful who you let teach you about spiritual things, and be careful who you talk to about these spiritual things. Go to a mature and trusted Christian that loves you, that's going to lead you towards God's love and truth. Be watchful that you don't go to strangers on the internet or an artificial intelligence bot. I believe that will lead you towards isolation and building a life on lies that leads towards increasing anxiety. This book is personal and it calls us to do self-assessment. Are you walking in the truth? Are you loving one another? In my Christian walk, I can recount to you many ways in which God has dealt with those lies ingrained deep in me, and they came from all over the place. From peers in grade school, middle school, from social media, from the movies I watched. Man, did they give me a false view of love and dating and relating. Legalistic Christian teaching. Christians with good intentions that didn't know how much compromise was getting into their teaching. And I am so grateful for the many pastors and elders and women of faith that loved me in the truth and guided me, and God used them to untangle those lies. What lie have you greeted and welcomed and let into your life? You might not even know what it is, but you know what's sort of downstream of it. You feel the discord, the tragedy, the lack of love, the lack of peace that comes from it. The tension you feel when you go to church or pick up your Bible. The pattern you've built in your life that you know is wrong, but you can't help doing it. And you're convinced yourself that there's no other way. Help us, Lord. Lies are not little things that we can control. Like oak trees, they take root and they grow and they crumble sidewalks. They crumble our way of life. Your whole life can be shaken by a lie that gives you a counterfeit for what you were hoping for in love and truth. Those who walk in the truth love one another. And if you're not experiencing increasing love in your life with your family, your friends, and your community, you may think that the solution is to find someone else on an app, the right person, or to find the right church. You need to come to Jesus. Plead with him. Lord, show me the compromise in my heart. Show me what is wrong. Search me, oh Lord. Let your word shine a light in me that I might walk by truth. That's a prayer request right there. False teaching is wicked work. The devil is the CEO, And the customers are unwatchful people with good intentions that believe lies that just derail their life. The product is anti-love and is anti-Christ. And the devil has been in this business since the Garden of Eden. So be watchful. How can we do that? Let's get practical. Be intentional about making God's truth a part of your daily and weekly routines. Love and truth are these humongous big ideas. Let's get down to really practical here. If you never read the Bible, you're someone that doesn't know the Bible. But if you read a little bit with consistency, some of you all are here. You become someone who abides in the truth. Because you just made it up, you made that small step of making it a part of your daily rhythms. For somebody here, truth seeking has never found its way into your busy life. It's like, maybe I'll get to that someday, or I'll do that when I have free time. We live in a world that is saturated and oozing with lies. If you have a lack of peace and a lack of love in your life, there is no time to ignore God's word. I'll start today. We each need to find places in our calendars, in our routines, where we wash ourselves with God's word. I suggest starting your day with a simple light breakfast and a book open. If you read your Bible, that's great. If you read a biblical Christ-centered devotional, that's great. And it's almost like we planned it. You can grab a free one on your way out at the New Year's Book Fair. Offered without price, God's truth for you. Make a habit and routine of reading God's word. And don't be surprised when it'll happen, because it's going to happen. God's truth is going to poke, and it's going to poke deep. And at that moment, repent. Obey. Let God's word do that work in you to untangle those lies. God's truth can sting, but that light shining in is the removal of those lies that steal your joy. How does John end this letter? Let's read those verses, verses 12 and 13. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use pen and ink, paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. I love this. I love this. Some of you are thinking, wait. Okay, God's talking to me. It's this relationship in my life. I thought she was wrong. She thinks I'm wrong. God, like, help us practically solve this problem. Give John more pen, more ink, more paper. I want a longer letter. John says, no, I'd rather not. I hope this isn't too cute, but the third point is the same as the first. Walking in the truth results in loving one another. Or you could say loving one another results in walking in the truth. It might take our society a few years to find the false hope we've put in artificial intelligence. I hope many of us figure out what God's known all along, which is that truth alone can't fix every problem. Love fixes problems. The truth, it just cannot. Love is not something that you read or hear. It's not content. It's not information. Love is experienced face to face. John has a love in the truth that fills him with a longing to put the pen down, to grab his coat, and go see the people that he loves. He wants face-to-face connection. He wants to see them and hug them and share life with them. Communities and families are not built on truth alone, but truth that results in love. And that's a love that can correct and overpower the lies in those people's lives and bring them back to the truth. John's desire for nearness is the mark of his true teaching. That's how you know he is not a false teacher. What do I mean by that? False teachers don't want to be known. They don't want to be vulnerable. They don't really love you. They want to hear themselves talk. They want money and influence. They want to be known as the expert. John the elder wants his joy and their joy to be complete, seeing them face to face, walking with them. That is truth, and that is love. He doesn't just want to hear himself talk. He misses them, and he enjoys togetherness with those that love Jesus. I visited someone elderly just before Christmas who can't come around to church anymore, and he taught me a lesson about handshakes. Not just handshakes, of course. And he said, you know, there's people that come to church and they just walk out. They want to be unknown. And then he went on to talk about you get to know people and you shake their hands, and handshakes lead to familiarity. That leads to connection. And then before you know it, you're helping out someone when they're sick, or they're helping you through a hard time, and you're building up brotherly love. Just this commitment of shaking hands. To walk in the truth is not some super religious lifestyle. It's when the gospel of Jesus Christ takes root in your heart and the anxieties of life that everybody deals with, they begin to bow to the love and power of Jesus Christ, allowing your heart to open to others. If you're not sure why we take so long before the sermon to greet one another, it's because lies lose their power in a community of people that love each other.
That's right.
Throughout this year, you're going to continue to hear about the ministries of our church, ways to get involved in serving together with one another, studying the Word together with one another in adult Sunday school, but we're going to begin talking a little bit more about growth groups. Growth groups are simply people that do life together, walk in the truth together. I want you to pray about finding one if you're not in one already. So what did 2 John teach us? Good churches have loving elders who care for the church. Walking in the truth leads towards loving one another. And we should be watchful for lies, continually letting God's word speak truth to us. Some of you may have some work to do in hunting down these lies. What is it, God? Seek him. God, show me. What is the cause of the hurt in my life? Have I believed a lie? Have I let false teaching in? Find a Christian friend that you can talk to face about that. And if no one comes to mind, please fill out a connect card. And it would make my joy complete to spend some time with you, seeking God with you. This is the way of those who've gone before us, to live by God's word and to love one another. Abide in Jesus, obey his voice, and he will empower you to love in a way that reconciles the world around you towards himself. We're going to sing another song together, but let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the author of all truth, and there is no deceit in you. And we cry to you for help, Lord. We live in a world that has left us confused. We repent, Lord, of going to our smartphones more than we do to your word. And God, we ourselves and the many loved ones we know are at war with Satan and his schemes and so much anti-Christian thought. Guide us in your truth, Lord God. Connect for us in our hearts and our minds how our lack of love is a yearning for you. We need you, Jesus. Do a work in our hearts, Lord God, that reconciles us to you and fills us with the desire in this new year to walk step by step with you, to recognize your voice, to love hearing it, to seek it, Lord. Give us some book study, some devotional, Lord, that we can walk in. Give us a friend, Lord, that will guide us in your truth. We need your love. We need your truth so that we might be bound together, continuing to faithfully walk with you in this world until you call us home. We love you and we thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.